All right, like Molly, I don't like to just be the only one talking. So I really want to, I'm going to put the word in quotes, waste 1 minute. If each of you can talk about what your connection is to school health. And I'm asking because I want to make my examples a little bit more relevant to you. So what's your connection to school health? Okay, what age group?
Generally K-8.
K-8, okay.
You next. Hi, everyone. I'm Audrey from Head of Studies. Unfortunately, I don't have much school teaching experience.
Okay.
I did recently get a public health degree, and prior to that, I went to medical school in Mumbai. You know, but I can tell you what my experience
is. Yeah, so why are you interested in school health? You don't have to have job experience. That's okay.
Schools are the most important.
Yeah.
They are the unit of learning. I thank my parents every day for the education they gave me.
Yeah,
in Chicago. And school is a place where it's at. I know. I'll just give you an example. I developed a policy for healthy school lunches in, for my school district. And it was about, you know, just perfect portioning of carbohydrates and fats and fruits and vegetables and having, you know, a la carte items to compete with the, you know, the chicken nuggets and the fried stuff that they have, and Michelle Obama and celebrity chef Jamie Oliver have the Let's Move campaign, and you know, it's just about engaging stakeholders and, you know, getting things fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
I think it's very important. Schools are where it's at.
Me too. And Beck?
Can I refer to
training the next generation of school health educators.
Okay.
I'm probably the outlier here. I'm a family doctor who teaches in a family medicine residency in Nashville, North Carolina. And I'm the total school groupie for the same reason because I'm schools are where it's at. Our project right now, the reason I'm here this afternoon, is that we just were approached by the schools to put up, we have about 35 residents, which by coincidence is about the same number of schools in the county. So we are now just starting a project, which is just barely getting off the ground, to put each of our residents in each of the schools in the county, connecting them with the wellness teams, which have just been developed in the schools, and trying to figure out how we can be a resource to them and how we can help them and listen to what the schools want to do. The idea is that the project in each school is probably going to look completely different, by shaped by this dialogue between our residents who are forming their, you know, their ideas about being a doctor, at the same time that the schools are trying to put this thing together with the wellness teams. And my goal is that I introduce the these young doctors who are still forming their, you know, ideas and plans. I want to give them some idea of the pleasure of working with schools and with teachers.
Great. Do you have a school health connection?
Yeah, I'm not currently, but in my background, I've done a lot of curriculum development for elementary school, especially. That was my passion. But I also, my doctoral dissertation was on comparing technology instruction versus instructor-led back in the 1980s. So I've been interested in this for a long time.
It's evolved a lot. And so Lynn, right?
Yeah.
So what's your connection? Because you're the only person we haven't heard from. Then.
I don't have a really strong school health connection. Uh-huh. The company I worked for was based for a long time in university.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work for a behavior change company. And so just by being on campus and interacting with students, you know, the needs of college students and, you know, seeing, you know, the huge decline in healthy behaviors and students transitioned to college kind of inspired us to create the intervention that I'll present on. So that's our connection.
I'm glad I asked this. First of all, this is like super fascinating to me, but it's totally changed how I was going to talk about this, so I'm glad I asked. And I think we should do this kind of thing more often, because I think there's a wealth of knowledge sitting in these rooms that we don't get to hear from. I did this research with Sarah Gershon. She's a teacher up in the northwest suburbs at Waukegan High School, and She very much wanted to learn how to integrate more technology into her instruction, and I kind of wanted to flip that around a little bit. anyone who's taught health, and I've taught freshmen, I taught health for 6 years, and prior to that I worked for a county health department as an educator, and health and PE are constantly having to defend their right to be in schools. We hear about the STEM sciences, on a regular basis, but we don't have that same push for health and PE. Some states don't require health and PE. Illinois does, so I'm thankful for that. But I remember on like school improvement days, all the science and language arts and math classes and social studies teachers would get together to figure out how they were going to prepare students for all these standardized tests. And then they would just tell the health and PE people, oh, well, you have a curriculum day. It's almost like we didn't have value. So part of my interest in doing the project was I wanted Sarah to be able to defend health education in her school as contributing to some of the skills that they are acquiring in language arts and science and math and social studies, primarily critical thinking, communication and collaboration skills, and creativity. So that's kind of where this is coming from. And then also, in part of the title, I do mention that they're a lower performing school. It's even more critical amongst those students who are attending these schools where college may or may not happen to expose them to these types of skill sets as well as technology, just to even be on part of the bell curve with everybody else. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to actually skip through this part because I'm going to cover it during the course of the presentation, and I know we have a little less time. All right, so just a little background. The pervasiveness of digital technologies has increased at a pace at which individuals communicate and exchange information. When Molly was talking about these global connections, you know, students who are in schools that are lower performing, have lower socioeconomic status, who may or may not have parents involved, they're not getting those connections that students in other schools might be. And so this requires that we are preparing our current generation of learners to be competent in not only processing information, but being able to communicate it with others. Has anyone ever seen this rainbow before at all? Okay. This was developed by an organization called the Partnership for 21st Century Skills. And if you can't see the writing, I am going to zoom on the rainbow in a little bit. And this is a nonprofit organization made up of for-profit businesses such as Microsoft, but also nonprofit organizations as well as the National Education Association. And they are advocating for skill sets that they believe that students need to enter the workforce today. I wanted to hone in on this top part of the rainbow, the learning and innovation skills. Within there are the four C's, and those critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity. And on the right-hand side, I mentioned that these skills have long been linked to being successful, but by actually putting a label on it, it's holding teachers to regularly thinking about how they're going to implement it. I don't know how many are familiar with the National Health Education Standards for K through 12. How many of the eight are actually skill-focused? It's a lot. It's the majority. Does anyone know? Yeah, seven. So number one deals with kind of knowledge, content, concept sort of things. But then when you go through 2 through 8, it's about decision-making and goal-setting and knowing where to look for information and knowing how to communicate and knowing how to advocate. And I really believe that this top part of the rainbow kind of speaks to developing those skills so that students can do that on a regular basis. So I mentioned here at the bottom that socioeconomic status impacts the rate at which students access various forms of information, communication, and technology. Therefore, in schools where students are at below average and are coming from low-income families, it's even more important to expose them to information technology skills as well as these four C's. Okay, so my research questions were as follows. One, how do students at an underperforming high school use technology and employ the four C's? Two, how aware are these students about safe, ethical internet use, and what is the impact of some very basic training on this topic? And then finally, what is the impact of technology-enhanced four C's-focused learning activities on their efficacy to perform them? So there was a pre and post assessment. It was a non-experimental design. There was no random assessment. We did it with everybody. It was 149 students in 6 sections of a health course. And to give you a little more background on this school, compared to state averages, 18% at the school are ready for college compared to 46% at the state level. Graduation rates are 74% compared to 86% at the state level. And then finally, their PSAE scores are 29% compared to 54%. So this is an underperforming school. Some other information worth noting is that percentage of students from low-income families is 61% compared to 52%. All right, so here's the intervention. I'm going to just kind of whiz through these real quickly. These were basically the ways that Sarah, the teacher, integrated technology or tried to develop 4Cs focused instruction. So what she had them do at the beginning, and she had them do it on paper because she didn't have access to the computers every single day. She had them create the equivalent of a Facebook profile. And within that context, they discussed what was safe and unsafe to disclose about oneself on a Facebook page. And they also talked about the long-term consequences of what you write and what you post. They also talked about cyberbullying, sexting, and digital footprints. She also taught them how to use reputable websites, for example, like the Medline Plus website, to locate information. There's tools and calculators on there where you can calculate body mass index and figure out your calorie intake, as well as finding out the outcomes of that. She also had the students research the nutritional value of fast foods, and then they had to create a healthy meal at different restaurants and then share that. She also had them use websites available through the CDC to research sexually transmitted infections, and at her point in doing that is she wanted to have them one regular resource for them to go back to. What made a huge difference though, and this year all the students now have Chromebooks, which is fabulous, but she taught them how to use Google Drive. And related to that, number 7, some students had never sent an email to anyone before. And this is a big deal if you think about just in terms of professionalism. These students are going to need to know how to do that, how to construct one, how one's image is portrayed in doing so. Most of the assignments she has now, the students exchange them with her via Google Drive so she can provide feedback to the students. They can share it with their family. They can share it with their peers. And then also she had them work in teams to research a drug topic on the NIDA website. And then the students worked in groups to create Google Slides to create their presentation. So this is what she did in one semester. And she had never done any of these things before. So ISTE NETS now has changed names, but ISTE is a national organization dealing with technology standards for teachers, coaches, administrators, and students. And the NET stands for the National Education Standards for Students. I'm sorry, National Education Technology Standards for Students. And these standards embody the 4Cs. So I decided to base my survey off of the NETS since it really did a nice job focusing on the 4Cs as well as the information, media, and technology skills of that P21, the 21st century skills. There were closed-ended questions that asked them to rate their confidence in performing the 4Cs, but I also asked them open-ended questions about that, as well as the kind of technology they were using for health-related purposes. All right, so I had responses from 101 students. Out of that original 151, I had to remove 50 because they did not have parent permission or there was not a true pre and post. One of the things about being in an underperforming school is you have a large transient population. I mean, she has new students coming in all the time and then students who did come back again. So it's really kind of hard to do a true pre-post in her classes. All right, this is the fascinating part. This came out of the open-ended. This was with regards to how they're using technology. So 97% do access technology daily or 3 to 5 times per week. Many, despite them coming from a lower income population, 97% of them either had a smartphone or access to one. When they were looking up information, they either used the family computer as well as tablets, school computers, and the public library, which is something important to always remember. Soft technology used outside of the out of the schools. When I mentioned smartphone, I meant their applications, and I needed to write that in there. For those of you who are not familiar with Snapchat, 76% of students are using this, followed by Facebook, gaming, going back to the personal laptop and some of the programs that were on there, Twitter, Tumblr is a little bit down at the bottom. Technology used to improve or maintain their health. Most students did indicate that they used the internet to look up information about health, 66%. 34% indicated a specific medical website, such as the Mayo Clinic, WebMD, Medline Plus. 27% had used the internet to find a doctor, hospital, or pharmacy. What I liked, though, was interesting to me was the number of students who were actually using the internet to look up healthy recipes. 21% were using some type of digital fitness tool, apps on their phone, 36%, but there was still 21% who was not using technology for health at all. Okay. In terms of safe and ethical internet use, the pretest showed that there was an awareness about cyberbullying, 35%. If you look at the post, 62%. General internet safety knowledge, 31% compared to 60% afterwards. But I'm very happy to see the thing about the digital footprint. It went from 3% to knowing what that meant to 71% afterwards. All right, so let's jump to this. Basically, in a nutshell, there was a big change in communication and collaboration. There was a moderate change in creativity. There was no change in critical thinking. But on the next slide, I'm going to add the but to that. The deal with the critical thinking is that they already rated themselves high on the pretest. So there really was nothing. It was a couple points difference from pre to post. Critical thinking was actually rated higher than any of the other ones. If we had more time on the next slide, I was going to have us do an activity to think about how we can engage students in critical thinking using technology in health, but we don't have time. So students, the last point on the bottom right-hand side is that students might need direct guidance on how to use technology to support critical thinking. And that was the skill. All right, so this conclusion, this study revealed that health education instruction intentionally focused on developing the 4 C's and use of technology can make a difference. It also revealed that teachers might need direction in how to develop critical thinking skills in health education using technology. So, professional development with teachers is critical. What's interesting is we're all sitting here in this room and none of us are health education teachers, because when you're a teacher, it's really hard to get away and have your principal give you time off. So anyone can come up with ideas about how to better reach teachers to help them integrate technology and do more with health education in terms of critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, etc., please do so. And why this matters, this is the closing thought. There remains a profound gap between the knowledge and skills most students learn in school and the knowledge and skills they need in a typical 21st century community and workplace. In schools where many students already start behind, reducing this gap becomes even more important. In the end.